nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, Jason and Trevor talk about what consignment really is and how you can use it as an opportunity to break fundraising records at your next event. Let's get right into it.
We were talking about, consignment and stuff. But here's the thing, afterwards, that's why we want to do part two, because we started looking at, if you look at it like this, all of these things are just tools in the toolbox. And when you're looking at your fundraiser, you use what you need to use,
Use what works.
Well, this is what it's like when an expert says you shouldn't use consignment. When a expert, and I'm holding my hands up in quotes, when a fundraising expert says why you shouldn't do it and you shouldn't use that.
Yeah.
This is exactly like the architect going to the construction manager and saying you can't use any concrete or you can't use any wood. Or you can't use a hammer, or you can't use a backhoe, or you can't use, a concrete saw.
Yeah.
We only, and that's because it's just a tool. Consignment is just a fundraising tool. It's a piece. It's a, we
one of many.
Well, that's what we started saying. It's a, these are fundraising opportunities.
It's a consignment opportunity. Yeah. It's not just consignment. And what's funny, Jay, I want you to unpack this because you made it very, very clear to me. I was like, where did we even come up with this term?
Well, the word consignment is derived from is from auctioneers, because auctioneers would have they call it a consignment auction where you put it in, or it's from selling something consignment. In other words, the person selling it doesn't pay for it until after it's sold.
Some negative connotation to me for some reason, because if you're not coming from the fundraising world, you think consignment, it's like a secondhand crib.
Well, I think part of the reason why, where some of that's come from, a lot of people say, well, it's because what if they go out of business? I can count on one finger the people that I know that have gone under that where people got burned. There was one company.
That was just a bad business model.
It was, and they overextended themselves, and they went and sold. They specifically sold something they could not fulfill. There was no way they could do it. They didn't have enough capacity
to do it. They got caught.
And so all of a sudden people couldn't do it. Then people quit using them and their model didn't work. I mean,
I'm going to expand on your tool premise because I think it's lovely. And that's the impetus for this part too about consignment opportunities and why you should consider them. Does it work for everybody? No. But when you do find a tool that works, you find a tool and it's successful. Human nature dictates you go back to it, right? You got a tool in your toolbox and it works and it's worked on multiple jobs. You go back to it and use it again, don't you? That's just kind of how the world works, isn't it? You buy one that works.
And I just think it's kind of like, it's like saying, well, you need to have a professional auctioneer. Well, that's not always 100% of the time correct.
And we're pro auctioneer.
Very much. I mean, I definitely think you need to get a professional. Are there exceptions to it? Absolutely. Are there exceptions to time when you don't need consignment, to use those? Absolutely. Are there exceptions when you don't have a live auction at all? Yes, of course there are.
Absolutely.
Are there times where you don't do a silent auction? Absolutely. They're just fundraising. Mm-hmm. We call them revenue generators. Some people go, well, we got to have a silent auction. No, you don't. You don't have to. Well, this is what it comes down to. How much money do you want to raise? And this is what I find interesting is how many times when you're talking to a professional, you ask them two questions. One, how much do you need to raise? How much do you want to raise? Well, we need, and when you get down to it, there's a number that you go, okay, so this is the net dollars that you need to do. So let's just let's do an exercise and figure the math out. And you start going through those things and they come to their live auction. And I say, okay, what do you have in your live auction? And they name off, let's say they've got five items, okay? And they've got five items. And you do a very, and I always tell everybody, do conservative. Be conservative when you take values and numbers. And they conservatively come up with it. And they say, let's say they want to raise $100,000. And they say, well, we've got $50,000 in sponsorship and underwriting, and table sales, things like that pre-event. We need to raise $25,000 in our live auction. And we're going to do a raffle. And then we're going to do an appeal, fund to need. Or we need $50,000 the night of. Okay. Well, they've got five items. Four of them on their best day will only bring, you know, $1,000 a piece or maybe $2,000 a piece. So let's just be real generous and say they're $2,000 a piece on average on their best day. And maybe one is there and it'll do $4,000 on its best day. So if everything goes good, if everything is perfect, we make $14,000, but yet on your numbers and your math, you need $25,000 in your live auction. So what are you going to do? And what tool are you going to use? Say, well, we're just going to really hope people are really generous. I don't care who, I mean, we see that a lot, but I wouldn't count on it. In fact, I'm more of conservative to say, cut that in half. And let's be very conservative because we don't know what's going to happen. What kind of things could happen? The stock market crashes. This goes bad. People don't, you know, there's a storm or somebody, you know, the donors that you thought were going to show wound up having a conflict and didn't come. Their kid got sick. We want to do it, but we want to have headroom. So that way, if everything does, if the stars align and everything goes perfect, we do have we can do a great event. And I just think that keeping those things in mind about everything, whether, you know, looking at fundraisers and all those things, how much money do you need to raise? And then use it from that. If you can hit your goal and you've got everything donated, great. That's awesome. I mean, I'm excited. Then, you know, that's what, but let's look at the numbers and what you're doing. It's kind of like I said, you know, we're going to telling your framer that he can't use a hammer or that he can't use a saw, but you want him to help build you a house. I mean,
yeah, it's not going to fly.
It just doesn't work. Or you're going to do, but it's not going to be very good. Maybe he uses
screws. There's going to be some pieces.
Well, he doesn't need a hammer. He can just use screws. Okay. Well, it's twice the cost. You know, it's 2-3 times the cost. So.
And then I'm going to double down on that. Like I said, and if you have that builder and you build that house or you raise a lot of money and you find that you have a really, really great tool and it works, you go back to it and you use it again. That's the idea, right?
Well, and the evidence is clear. We've got clients that they started off just using a couple of things and, you know, to help fill a gap. And they said, wow, I think can we raise this much money? And we work with them and they, by using consignment, and they go and they raise an extra $50,000 net to their bottom line, $50,000 because they, you know, they use the tool.
I spoke to a private school recently, and they had never used consignment opportunities before or these tools before. And they said, we're hosting a Paris themed event, a night in Paris.
Oh yeah. You told me about this.
And their invites said, if any of our donors or anyone that's considering coming or anyone that's a supporter or an alumni of the school or a parent or a grandparent, if anyone has access to a home in Paris, we'd really love to have access to it and use it in our live auction. And I thought to myself, I said, that's awesome. There's no harm in asking. Of course, I think that's fantastic. How likely is it, do you think, that someone's going to step up with a place in Paris? I mean, I don't have a place in Paris.
Well,
I know a lot of people and I think the fact
that you're sending something out in email form tells you everything you need to know because you haven't properly profiled your donors to know who has what and access, or the people that are in your sphere, you know, the people you don't have done a people exercise, and you're just you're literally throwing darts at a board. Well, sometimes that's not the best, you know, and you need to open your eyes. That's okay to throw darts, but let's open our eyes, get as close as we can to hitting the bullseye versus, you know, it's like, you know, putting the target on one side of the house, going on the other side, opposite side of the house, and thinking that and blindfolding and then throwing darts over, hoping they're going to hit the board.
That was the opportunity to find a place in Paris for these folks. Unfortunately, it's just like, oh my goodness. Well, you know, it is what it is. And that's why we're going to keep getting the message out. So, yeah.
Okay.
So well,
just don't eliminate tools. Use the tools, but don't just eliminate them because somebody said it was a bad idea.
I love that. Yep. Question everything you hear. That's what I say, even from us.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Okay.
All right, brother. That was great.
I'll see you.
Thanks, everybody. All right.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.